Anyway, now for some intelligent conversation. I've been a keen admirer of Rob Ellis's music ever since he first appeared playing the drums on PJ Harvey's debut album, Dry. He still got that job, but only part-time, because Ellis has plenty of other fish to fry, musically speaking. His interests range from contemporary classical music to jazz and electronica, and most of them have just been put on show on his new solo CD. It's called Music for the Home, subtitled Instrumental, Mechanical and Electronic Music, 1994 to 1998. And so I asked Rob Ellis the blindingly obvious question, was this a project he put together in his spare time?
Yes, exactly. Between my other nefarious projects, just sort of dabbling at home, really, hence Music for the Home.
And was there a united idea behind all the pieces that feature here?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was the album, as it now stands, is a collection of some of the work I've done at home, on my own, as it were, and not all of it. So it's kind of, it was compiled at the end of the process, but with, you know, there was never any actual intention to make a record. So,
when you were working at home, you were, we gather, mostly working with the piano. Is that right?
Yes.
You are a pianist?
No.
I'll unwrap that one for us.
I've always sort of dabbled in a very sort of amateur fashion on piano and enjoyed, I just love the sound of the piano as an instrument, but I've never been very accomplished technically. So a lot of music that I really wanted to explore for my own interest, music that interested me, contemporary classical music, I thought, how can I go about making music that sounds somewhat like that, but I can't play? So the only way, I bought myself like a MIDI piano, a fake piano I call it, and a computer, and just started working with that. Generally sort of very late at night, back from the pub, sit at piano, put computer into record, and jam on the piano. And then next day, more sober, listen back to what I did, get rid of all the crap. If there's any of the nice things that are there, little nuggets, then I'd edit them and make something out of that.
Case that the lack of formal training that you referred to then, do you find that actually in some way useful in this kind of procedure, that you don't get hung up on doing things the way you might have been taught?
Yes, I think it is helpful for anyone to find their own way. A certain amount of guidance can be useful, but that guidance can come from any source, not necessarily a teacher as such. It can be from books and other music that you hear. You can learn from that.
You mentioned contemporary classical music, mm-hmm. and that's the obvious reference point with your album. Mm-hmm. Which composers do you particularly admire?
I really like Morton Feldman and Ligeti. Some of the fairly obvious ones you would think from listening to the record, but actually my main love is actually some more early 20th century composers like Stravinsky and Debussy and Ravel and Bartok.
Some of the sort of fast mechanical things, like mm-hmm. I noted a track called Dreaming, reminded me of Nancaro, the mechanical piano.
Oh, yeah, there's
piano.
A big mm-hmm. Nancaro. Feel and
yes,
parts of this
album. The thing I'm fascinated about with the fact you're using a fake piano or a mechanical piano. I mean, his piano was actually a real sort of player piano and sounds quite old and clattery, whereas mine is a fancy Yamaha piano that's supposed to sound like a real piano, like a nice grand piano. And I like what he did, and what I've tried to do is somehow blur the edges between, you recognize the sound being a piano as something that people can play, immediately you just think it must be being played. But because it's being played by a computer, it can do stuff, it surprises you, it can catch people out and sort of blur the line between what can be played and what can't be, and what's real music and what's mechanical. And I like that. I like playing around with those notions, and I think that's what he did as well.
I found that particularly with the organ pieces on this. It really sounds like it's organ music played in a church, like Messiaen organ music,
yes,
or something. But then,
yes,
I kept thinking, well, this may be sampled.
No, it's not sampled. It's actually generated from the computer. And it's just, it's just another box of sounds that I have that just has a crappy little organ sound in it and an ocarina sound. And I just generally use those two and stick a bit of reverb on it, and you have an instant chapel kind of a sound. And again, a way of faking it, as it were, and playing with people's perceptions of what's really going on. I mean, it seems I have actually caught people out. When people have done interviews and reviewed the record, they genuinely think that those are real mechanical wind-up instruments that are on there. So I kind of enjoy fooling people that way.
When I first saw you, you were playing the drums with PJ Harvey, and in fact you're still doing that on tour with her at the moment. You are a percussionist. Where does the percussion element in your sort of musical interest feature most strongly, do you think, on this album?
I think in just the rhythmic element, the simple rhythmic element. There's no drumming to speak of at all on this record.
So why did you deliberately, or perhaps not deliberately, why did you exclude the drums from this album? Why isn't there a long drum solo, for example, at track 12, say?
A very obvious reason. To be honest, simply because at home, I'd rather not play the drums at all.
Because they're too loud?
Well, that's part of it, but also I kind of do a lot of drumming with other people the rest of the time, and so as of other music I'd like to, instrumental music.
So you see
that
the drums
like
as a sense, you as a collaborator, whereas this is very much you as yourself, a solo performer.
Yeah, yes, Yes, I wouldn't like to separate it as much as that, but generally the music that I'd like to do at home is piano-based or instrumental piano-based music, or at least for this record it has been.
It's interesting. How did you sequence this album? Because it does touch on quite a lot of different themes and moods, and it was gathered together over a long period of time. Putting it together must have been quite a difficult task, I would imagine.
In the end, the notion came to me that there is a sort of tentative theme running through how all the tracks are ordered. Nothing obvious within the music. You wouldn't hear it in the music, but it's just, for me, I ordered it in the way that there are abstract notions that it's kind of like a crime thriller, the way it's laid out and how one track relates to another in the background behind the track. But I haven't made it obvious in the track title or the music particularly.
Would you, just for the benefit of our listeners, care to just give one little clue as to the sort of organisational point you were making there, like the way in which one particular track leads to another?
Well, track one, I guess. Track one into the first set of related pieces. The first track out of it is basically a bunch of distorted noise, out of which comes this guitar piece by Benjamin Britten. That one guitar piece, I was producing a record for a classical guitarist called Michael Partington, and I multi-tracked him playing, doing various takes of Nocturnal After John Dowland by Benjamin Britten. And then eventually I put all the faders up. Him playing that 20 times just became this blur of sound, which I exacerbated by feeding through various boxes and things, and then pared it down at the end to just the one take of him playing it.
Particularly like track number 14, music for the home number 3, Unreasonable Behaviour in the Nursery. Sounds like sort of clockwork toy music. How did you put that together?
Mm-hmm. Again, that was literally writing the music on computer and then feeding that fake clockwork music out through speakers in a room and miking up the room so that you'd actually have apparent clockwork music featuring in a room, in a space, although they're not actually real. There are footsteps moving across the stereo picture, and the footsteps stop at each apparent music box and wind it up. And there are 4 music boxes, each one generating its own independent line of music, that when they fit together, the 4 parts fit together, they become one piece of music, which clearly relate to each other. But I like the conceptual idea of how it would actually be impossible to, if you were to actually walk into a room and do that with 4 independent music boxes. You'd never get them lined up. You'd spend forever trying to do that. But with a computer, you can fake that. So again, it's a question of blurring notions and perceptions of how what's real and what isn't. And they were fake footsteps. So.
Some of the piano music on your album sounds very precisely structured, sort of like almost mathematically, like pieces by Xenakis or someone like that. Mm. Is that the case in any of them?
Yes, very definitely in one case. Toward Dust Spiral Section, very much an exercise in writing by numbers. I was very interested in programming the computer completely by numbers, and I spent a month just number crunching to see how objective a piece of music could be and still be somehow emotionally involving. That's what I was trying to look into. That if you were literally just programming by numbers, how you would feel about the music that would come out of that, how you would actually feel about it.
And how did you?
It's certainly the coldest and most abstract thing I've done. I don't think I'd do anything like that again. I consider it now to be an interesting exercise, but I think it has come out rather cold, but at the same time, I do think you can find some way in emotionally.
The difference you make between the fake instruments and the real instruments reminds me a bit of what Frank Zappa did. Because
we were discussing this earlier.
Yeah, he wrote some orchestral pieces which he then hated the performances of. He described the LSO as machine operatives, and then he programmed them all into a synclavier, and then he found the Ensemble Moderne at the end of his life, and then they played lots of his music.
Yeah.
Was he an influence or an interest for you?
I think he was definitely a reference. Certainly those Yellow Shark Ensemble Moderne pieces. I love just, the idea of miniatures and taking just one idea and following it through in a four-minute-long piece for an ensemble is something I just love the sound of. I love the sound of that, whoever it may be. It's not just Frank Zappa, but other people. Yes, it's interesting you're saying that he described the LSO as machine operatives. I mean, it's rather like the Hitchcockian notion of the actors being cattle, that, you know, immediately the musicians will interpret things their way and will impose their will on things. And there is a slightly egocentric notion that sitting down with a computer and making sure the music is exactly as you want it is quite desirable.
We're presumably listening here to a fraction of what you have actually been doing at home all these years. Mm. Roughly what proportion of your output does this represent, this CD?
Oh, about a third, I would say.
And what's going to happen to the other two-thirds?
I might tidy that up and release that as well, or at least a third of it. So the other third probably wouldn't merit actually being heard by anybody. So.
Right, Rob, of the 21 tracks here, which is your favourite?
I think it's probably the last one, Cédé.
With the cello?
Yes.
Why particularly that one?
Because I like it. It's very simple. After all the complication of the previous tracks, I just like its simplicity.
Cédé by Rob Ellis. Our thanks to him for coming in to talk to us, and a big shout for his recent album Music for the Home.
Now, the San Francisco duo Matmos have caused a bit of a stir recently because their forthcoming CD, A Chance to Cut is a Chance to Cure, has been made using the sounds of plastic surgery recorded by them in various Californian hospitals.